Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
One thing we're tracking is, like I said, we're always tracking that cost per purchase, that what's our ROI. I don't care so much about lead costs, to be honest, because if we're paying $10 a lead and getting $100 a lead back, that's fantastic.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. Rick Mulready here. Hope this finds you well. Thanks a lot for coming and hanging with me today. Really appreciate it. This is episode number 151. And today we're going to be talking with Andrew Hubbard, who runs Facebook ads for some very successful online entrepreneurs. One of those people is last week's guest from episode number 150, Melissa Griffin, who joined me to share how she's created a seven-figure automated webinar funnel in 18 months for her business. So if you've not yet heard that episode, definitely check it out at rickmulready.com/150. Or if you're listening to this on iTunes, you can just go back one episode. You don't have to listen to it before today's episode, but it will definitely give you some context for my conversation here with Andrew today. We dive into how he started his Facebook ads business, what he charges for his clients, how he niched down for everybody who gives me a hard time about how I say that word. And then we dive into the specifics of how Andrew runs the Facebook ads for Melissa Griffin's seven-figure automated webinar funnel. So you're going to be learning what types of images work the best for Andrew's campaigns for Melissa, what's working the best in the way of ad placements for him right now, why Andrew's putting so much focus on video ads, and we talk about what types of videos are working best for him, including what's being said in those videos. He just breaks it down for you, tells you, he shares a lot here today. How Andrew is scaling his Facebook ads campaigns for Melissa without ruining the results that he is seeing, how he uses the conversion window to test and to scale his ads. You know, when you use conversions as your objective, you can choose whether you want to optimize for like 1 day click or 7 day click. So he talks about how he uses that conversion window to test different things and to scale his Facebook ads. We also dive into Andrew's split testing strategy and a whole lot more. You're going to hear a lot of similarities about what Andrew does in his campaigns and what we talk a lot about here on the podcast and what I talk about also. Originally, he took my FB Ads for Newbies course a few years ago, which is a course that has not been available for a while now, but I'm in the process of making changes to that. And it's been really, really cool to see his evolution as a Facebook ads manager. He is very good and knows what he's doing when it comes to managing his Facebook ads right now. And you're going to hear that during this interview here today. So I'm really excited. Without further ado, let's go hang out with Andrew. Andrew, I want to start off right away by really congratulating you because I've kind of been watching from afar your success over the past couple of years and how you sort of started out. I remember you reached out to me a couple of years ago, kind of sharing some of the stuff that you were doing. And like I said, I've been kind of watching from afar your progress in building this, you know, sort of ads management agency, if you will, working with some of the, some pretty quote unquote big names online, you know, and I've been really impressed and I'm really happy to welcome you here to the podcast. How's it going, man?
Yeah, good, Rick. And thanks for that. Yeah, I really do appreciate it. And it's good to be here talking to you.
Absolutely. So we're doing this, I'm doing this a little bit later in the day than normal my time because you are down in Australia. It's like 9:30 in the morning. You're just getting on a Tuesday morning. It's Monday evening here. You're just kind of getting your day going here. Why don't we start off with you sharing a little bit more about you, what you're up to and what your background is.
Yeah, for sure. So look, I got into Facebook ads a few years back now, probably 4 years ago, I guess, when I first started running ads. You know, started pretty much where everyone starts, messing around with my own stuff and side projects and things like that. And then, started, I think that was back when I took your FB Ads for Newbies course way back in the day as well.
Yeah.
Started getting into that and I was working with clients at the time, not on Facebook ads. And a few of them wanted to run Facebook ads and, you know, we'd been chatting about how I'd sort of knew a little bit about it, but not much. And so I helped them out a little bit, you know, did a bit here and there, helped a few friends out who were trying to get started and basically kind of snowballed from there. And I eventually realized that, hey, I could probably start actually offering this as a service, did that and then decided to go full time. And that's when I really started looking for more and more clients, bigger and bigger clients. And since then, it's kind of the last few years have just been absolute whirlwind. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to work on some really big funnels, really big campaigns for a lot of pretty cool people in the space. My focus is around, I work with online entrepreneurs primarily, so people selling info products or SaaS companies, so software as a service.
Cool.
So it's really where I've ended up niching down. And I think that's a lot of the reason behind my success and why we get such good results, because I've chosen to just focus on that instead of e-com or whatever. And basically what I focus on doing is coming in, you know, when a company or when an entrepreneur has a funnel that's working, they're ready to scale. That's where I come in, jump in, get the Facebook ads going and really scale that up to where they want to get to.
So they have to have a funnel in place pretty much that is converting before you are okay with working with them, if you will. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. Look, in some cases, if they've got a funnel or if they've done a launch before, but they didn't run ads the first time, but the launch went well, they know their numbers, you know, then the launch is, that second launch is totally fine. It doesn't have to be an evergreen funnel. But yeah, definitely good to have that in place. And I think that's just something I think is smart if you can get a funnel working before you start throwing tons and tons of paid traffic at it.
For sure. Before you started, you know, when you took the newbies course way back when, like what was your background before that? I mean, what were you doing at that point?
I was a business analyst.
Corporate job? Government.
Corporate job. Yep.
Okay.
So I did that corporate job straight out of university for like 7 or 8 years. But it just wasn't much fun, to be honest.
Okay. So you started doing it on the side. You started running ads on the side. Gotcha. Okay. Yep. And did you start with working with several different niches at that point, or did you kind of start right off in the online space, or what was that like?
Several different niches. Like I did a bit of everything. I did a bit of e-com. I did all sorts of different things. One thing I never did was local business, but pretty much everything else, you know, I did a bit of. And what I did, like, so basically the story was I was in this corporate job. I was doing this bit on the side and stuff. And then an opportunity came up where they were cutting back staff and they were looking for people to volunteer. They said, look, if anyone wants to leave, put your hand up and, you know, we're doing redundancy payouts. And so I sort of thought about it, went back and forth, didn't like the job and stuff. And so I put my hand up and I thought, you know, why not? This is a great parachute, I guess you can call it. And did the numbers and it was like, you know, it was quite a bit of money. And so I put my hand up and I'm like, you're crazy. Like, what are you doing? You're the youngest person. That's everyone else has, you know, been waiting for this to retire and you're doing it now. And anyway, so I took the leap and and that's kind of when I jumped into it full time. And what I did then, I was quite strategic about which clients I went after from them because I had time to sit back and think, who do I want to work with? Like, who's my ideal client? Out of all these ones I've worked with on the side, which ones did I enjoy the most? Which ones could I help the most? Which ones did I, you know, get the best results with? And it was that online entrepreneur, you know, those people selling info products and courses. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I listed out a bunch of influencers and names in the space that I'd really like to work with. And I thought, how can I add value? How can I help these people basically and show them that, you know, I can help them and that I've got something to offer. So what I did was I went to a lot of their websites and I looked at to see if the Pixel was installed. Mm-hmm. And yeah. A lot of these big names didn't have it. So I'd make a quick video and be like, hey, you know what? Just checking out your website, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was all genuine because these were people that I did follow anyway, you know, sure. Been following you for a while. This is what I noticed. You know, if you add the Pixel, you can do X, Y, and Z. This is how you add the Pixel in like 2 minutes flat. Or I can add it for you free, you know, not going to try and pitch you anything like that. And that worked really, really well. There are a few people that were on board. You know, we started a conversation about working together. From there, you know, it was about, can I get a case study? Yep. As soon as I got a case study, that just was like...
So was that work for free for the case study?
The first one was, but not okay. From then onwards.
Got it. Okay,
first one
cool.
First one was very... We had a very clear conversation about if I do this, it's free, but, you know, I really, you know, we're going to do the case study. We're going to spell out all mm-hmm. the numbers, you know, very, very clear about what the expectations were on both sides. Yeah, we were both really happy with that.
How did you, now I want to kind of get into, I really want to dive into the work that you're doing with Melissa Griffin, because Melissa was a guest on the show here last week talking about this really, really smart automated webinar funnel that she's gotten going into her business, and it's a 7-figure, you know, a year funnel, which is pretty darn amazing. And we went through sort of the evolution of that funnel and what that looks like. And, you know, in addition to learning more about your story and you sharing what you're up to and how you got to where you are, I really want to dive into the campaigns that you're running for her as a follow-up to last week's episode. But I do want to ask you, so you went the free route to get that, to get people's attention, to get some case studies, to get some experience done. Once you did that, what did the pricing, I mean, I get asked all the time by my FB ad manager students, you know, as far as pricing goes. And we, you know, we spend a whole module in that about pricing, but how did you price your services and how has that pricing sort of evolved over the past few years?
Yeah, sure. So it was too cheap at first. I'll tell you. That,
Everybody usually is.
Yeah. I think, look, the first ones, I think I charged like $500, you know, maybe a little more. And then it kind of grew to maybe $1,500. I think it was $1,500 for the next few. And they were kind of launches. So it was like $1,500 for a launch. And then I think I started doing that same thing for the first evergreen funnels that I picked up were like $1,500 a month. And then it kind of grew from there. So, yeah, now, I mean, if you want an indication of what I charge now, I'm happy to talk about that as well. Now I start at $3,500 a month and we go from there. And we base on percentage as well.
Based on percentage of ad spend?
Of ad spend. Yeah, that's right.
Got it. So it's 3,500 plus a percentage of ad spend. Is that right?
No, I go with a base. So I go 3,500 base.
Yep.
And that covers up to a certain... That covers
spending
the
threshold.
Portion of the ad spending threshold. Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Okay.
If they go above, then it's just a flat percentage fee on top of that.
Got it. Cool. Okay. And you've evolved that over the past, what, 3 years or so?
Yep. Yeah. Evolving over the past 3 years. Yeah. Just based on the results and value that I'm delivering. Like I think that's an important mindset to get into, is to start to think about what are you delivering for your clients?
Yeah.
If you're delivering, you know, $100,000 a month in profits, then it's not unreasonable to ask for a little bit more, you know.
Absolutely.
For a higher price.
I'd love to hear, like, were you afraid to charge that higher price? A lot of people are afraid to charge that higher price, even though they're getting results for their clients, because they think that, you know, either their clients are not going to want to work with them anymore, or that they don't deserve that, or there's some sort of mindset that gets in the way, if you will, of that. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely had all those thoughts go through my head every time that I was raising the price or changing the pricing at all. You know, I would think, well, what if clients drop off? What if I, you know, what if the next 10 proposals I do, none of them get accepted? All that kind of stuff. it all goes through your head. And I think you just have to, think, just try it. I mean, honestly, if you know that's what you're worth, just try it. I was stunned. Every time I raised my price, people would go, okay, sure. And, you know, it's like, why didn't I do this 3 months ago? You know, that said, I think it's important to get to that level as well, gradually. I don't think you can, you know, I think as you get more experience and you get better at what you do, you can.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, cool. Awesome. Let's talk about Melissa's campaign campaigns. So she's running. So for everybody who's not heard last week's episode, this is what we're going to be talking about here. So definitely check out last week's episode. Melissa Griffin is my guest on that show. For those of you guys who are watching this live on my Facebook page, the episode isn't even out yet. It's going to be out in 2 days on Wednesday. When it is live, it will be rickmulready.com/150 and so we talk all about in that episode her seven-figure automated webinar funnel. And Andrew, you are the person behind the Facebook ads driving that funnel. So let's dive into sort of how you've got it set up, you know, what types of things that you're testing and all that stuff. Let's kind of start from the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. So look, yeah, like you said, it's a seven-figure funnel. It's doing really, really well. It's a webinar funnel. For everyone who goes back and listens, you'll get the full details. Webinar funnel, $397 product, $197 upsell on the back end. That's, you know, it's beautifully simple.
Yeah.
It works really well. But yeah, look, the Facebook ad side. So when I came in, we started these about July last year, July 2016. Mm-hmm. I came in, Melissa would run a few ads for herself, but not too many. So it's coming in and just basically starting this evergreen funnel on the ad side from scratch, mm-hmm. basically. So my strategy to come in and start was, this is my strategy for any approach to. It's where's our easiest traffic source to convert into leads? Now, for Melissa, really, really fortunate that she'd built up her blog and website to a point where she had really good website traffic coming in. She had a good-sized Facebook page with lots of fans, and her email list was at a pretty good size at that point as well. So that's the obvious starting point was, all right, let's target this warm traffic. Let's put them through the funnel because they're going to be the lowest cost per conversion and most likely they're going to have a high conversion rate. Mm-hmm. And so we started there, and we started with just like, we kept it simple, started targeting the US, targeting that warm traffic and putting them through just with your standard Facebook image ads.
So the warm traffic that you're referring to is the website traffic.
Website traffic and Facebook fans.
Got it. Okay. No email list?
Yeah. Email list as well. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We did.
Okay.
So all of those three, we split them out into different ad sets just so we could see which was working yep. best as well. And look, it was, yeah. So right off the bat, we were really lucky. Well, I don't know if it's luck or if it's, you know, how we had those set up, but that worked right off the bat. So we started getting leads and sales and a good ROI straight off. Which is quite unusual, but it's because Melissa had already had this funnel working organically before she started pouring this paid traffic in.
Yeah. So she had the funnel set up. She was doing the automated webinar funnel at this point, but yes. hadn't really been driving traffic to it. Just a little bit of traffic, but now you were sort of opening the floodgates, if you will, getting more people into the funnel, but you started with the warm traffic.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly right. And the reason we wanted to do that was because it's the lowest risk. It's where we...
Yeah, for sure.
We don't want to waste money on these ads, so we want to start with the lowest risk.
Yeah.
So obviously, like it was working, but there was a lot of room for improvement. So we tweaked that with the warm traffic for a while, like probably for a month or two, just changing the ads around, figuring out exactly what worked best and optimizing it.
Yep.
Once we did that, that's when we started moving out into cold traffic. A couple of reasons for doing it. Like I said, we had that time to optimize while it was cheap. We built a lot of social proof on ads, like hundreds of likes, shares, comments, all that kind of stuff. And we could carry that across. So when we hit up that live traffic, boom, we had these ads that already had a ton of social proof and everything going.
Yeah.
And then we started building out from there. So we started seeing, I think, about a 1.5x ROI on cold traffic. And then we just started optimizing from that point.
So when you started with you said you just started with the image ad. Please tell me that, and I'm saying please tell me that you didn't do this because it would be really, really good if you did. But did you just, were you just doing one image or were you testing multiple images?
We tested a lot of images.
Okay, cool.
We started with 5 to 10 images and we started with 3 different sets of copy, I think, to start with. So we did, we started with quite a few different variations. And we didn't run them all at once because with warm traffic, we just didn't have the volume of traffic to be running.
Sure.
You know, 5 by 3 is at least 15 different ad variations, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But we did start running, I think we started with 4 images running and at least 2 of those sets of copy. And then we were changing those out as we were optimizing.
Are you a believer in the, and what I like to, what I talk a lot about, do you have individual ad sets for those different variations or are you putting multiple ads within an ad set?
Always one ad per ad set is how I like to run it.
Cool.
And I like to get really granular too. So I like to split out into desktop, mobile, Instagram. So all the separate placements as well.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Mm-hmm. So then you moved into into cold traffic from there.
Yeah.
And then how did you, your warm traffic was doing really well. I mean, you said you're doing 1.5x on the ROI. When you got into the cold traffic, what type of like, how many audiences did you jump right into? Did you like really, really get after it and get a bunch of different cold audiences going or what did that look like?
Yep. So at the time, warm was about 4x ROI and the cold when we first started was 1.5.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, that's right. Yep. Cool.
So what we did when we first went into cold, and this again was the benefit of being able to start with warm, was we went straight into lookalikes in a big way. So we used website traffic lookalikes. We used email list lookalikes and we used customer lookalikes. They were the first 3 that we went after. We did use some interest targeting, but it was those 3 lookalikes primarily that we went after. And then we started adding in lookalikes based on, you know, people who've registered for the webinar, people who attended live for the webinar and all different crazy kinds of combinations as well.
Sure. I love it. At what point are we talking about now? Because you started this July 2016, so just over a year ago. How has it evolved since then?
No, it's definitely evolved, So that was about September-ish that we started really putting the foot down with cold. And we got that to several $1,000s a day. But it's definitely evolved since then and changed. I mean, as you know, so the first challenge that we run into is as we scaled, as we optimized, ad fatigue sets in pretty quick when you're spending thousands a day on something like this. So that was the first thing. And the second thing, the platform just changes. So what we started to do was we started testing straight to webinar, like I just said. So we'd be going out webinar registrations. But then we started testing, what if we drive more traffic to the website, blog posts, content, and then retargeting off the back? So instead of just relying on retargeting organic website traffic, what if we use Facebook ads to drive to the website, which is a common strategy that you've talked about quite a few times as well, and doing that. And what we actually found was it's about the same for us if we do that. When you look at cost end-to-end, you know, the cost of running the traffic, the conversion rates, all that, ROI is about the same. So we actually do both now as well.
You found the cost per lead or cost per sale was the same, whether you drove traffic to content, retargeted it to the webinar, and also ad directly to webinar. Was it cost per lead or was it cost per sale or both?
Cost per sale.
Yeah. Interesting. Cool.
I always tend to focus on cost per sale, and we can I've got some really interesting numbers here we can dig into later sort of talk why that is. But yeah, always looking at that cost per sale number as opposed to the lead cost for sure.
Yeah. So let's do that. Before we look at the numbers, I'm curious because one question everybody always wants to know is how do I spend more? How do I spend more? How do I scale my ad spend without, you know, ruining the results that that you're seeing? How are you doing that and how have you been doing that over the past several months?
Yeah, so the benefit of Evergreen, obviously, compared to, let's say, a live webinar is you've got time. And with time, it means you can scale slowly. So I follow a similar approach, Rick, to I know you've talked about in the past as well, which is that sort of 20% every second day. You know, so if we've got a winning ad set, then we'll scale 20% every second day. If we want to scale quicker, which we often do, if we find an ad that's really, really working well, there's a few ways that we'll do it. I'll duplicate the ad set and the ad. So let's say we've got an ad and we're running it at $50 a day, you know, an ad set, and I want to speed that up. I might duplicate it 3 times and then, you know, bump the budget on each duplicate to $150, $200 a day and start from there. Obviously, always bringing across that post ID from the original post. So we're using the same post. So that's sort of the second stage. And one of the big things we did was, like I said before, we started with just US traffic because we wanted to remove as many variables as we could at first while we got this going. So then it was obvious, okay, well, we've got US traffic converting really, really well. Now let's scale to Australia, to the UK, to Canada. And so we added in those extra countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they were the big, they were the main ways that we scaled. The other things that we do when we're looking to scale is we'll look at where we can get even more granular. So let's say we're running ad sets, like I said, we've split out into mobile newsfeed, desktop, you know, US, UK. If we look at it and we really want to scale, we might split that even further into different into three different age brackets and start to and turn that one ad set into three targeting different age brackets.
I want to dive into that real quick too, because some people might not understand what you're talking about there. So for example, if you're targeting, let's just say men and women 25 to 54, let's just say, and you after it's running a little bit, you're doing a performance, you're doing a placement breakdown, or you're doing a breakdown of age to see which age ranges within that overall age range are performing the best. And let's just say that, you know, 34 to 45 or whatever it is working the best for you, then you're duplicating maybe that ad set, but only targeting that age range to hone in on that age range that we're talking about here.
Yep. Exactly right.
Cool.
Exactly right. Yep.
I like it. Okay. Continue. I cut you off there.
No, that's fine. It's just, we look at where we can break that ad set down more and more. Another one that I've been really, really liking lately, and this is a newer feature, is those conversion window options. So you know how you can choose in an ad set, 1 day conversion window, 7 day, 7 day click, you know, all that kind of stuff. We've actually been doing that now. So if we have a 1 day click conversion window ad set that's working well, we'll take that, create a new ad set, like clone the ad set, but change the new one to a 7 day click conversion window and go crazy with that as well. And it seems to target a different segment of the target audience within that, within that ad set. And boom, it gives us another opportunity to scale. And often what we're seeing now is that 7 day works pretty well. Often it outperforms the 1 day, but it just, you know, obviously you always got to test these things, but yeah, it's something to look at.
So are you using, I love that you're doing that. And I think that's one of those things that not a lot of people try, you know, because they're thinking, and we talk about it a lot here in the show, talking about, you know, look, if it the test out, start with the 1 day window, 1 day click window, because we're sending people to, you know, a registration page, not a big decision there about whether someone's going to do that or not. Are you using the data, like after the ads have been running for a while, are you looking at an ads manager, breaking down the performance and stuff like that, and actually looking at those windows there to see where the conversions are happening? Are you using that data also to drive that decision?
Yep, absolutely. So we've got tons of spreadsheets on this stuff with sort of everything listed out. We're definitely looking at that. And it's interesting to see at the moment, the 1 day still performing overall a little bit better, but we've got a lot more data on the 1 day. So I'm really interested to see, we're running a lot of 7 day at the moment. So I think it might actually, you know, overtake the 1 day after a little while, but the data's looking that way. But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, we're always looking at that and just using that data to make the decisions. It makes it easy because, you know, if the data says it's better, then we go with that. If the data says it's not, we don't.
Yeah. What, I love that. I mean, what types of, when you're doing images, you know, Melissa's very photogenic. She's, you know, great. She takes great pictures and stuff like that. When you're doing images of her, well, actually, let me reframe that. What types of images tend to work the best? Are you using images that don't have her in them at all? Are they images of her? Are they images with text in there? I mean, I've seen a lot of the ads, and they're really, really good ads. What types of things have you tested and found, you know, what tends to work better for you?
Yeah, so I can tell you what's moved the needle the most for us as far as that creative side goes over the last 12 months. So images, yeah, what we found is with Melissa, images with Melissa tend to work best. Now, something to mention is the landing page features a giant picture of Melissa. So that I really do think that has a big effect on, you know, how the ad performs. So I think the fact that the ads with Melissa perform better is because, you know, there's that congruence between the ad and the landing page. So they tend to work well. Her brand colors are quite favorable as well when it comes to Facebook ads. We use a lot of
lots of yellow.
Lots of yellow. Exactly. Contrast really well in the newsfeed. Lots of bright colors. So, yeah, I mean, that's – and if you look at the ads, and I'm sure we'll have some examples somewhere, they're really quite simple. The design isn't anything fancy. It's large blocks of color. It's a photo of Melissa. And we always focus on that headline, that tagline in the ad as well. So that's the image side. But what's been working, like a few other things that have been really moving the needle lately. Instagram ads for a start, because as you know, Melissa's audience, big users of Instagram. So a lot of them hang out on Instagram. Melissa's a big user of Instagram as well. So we've been moving more to Instagram and it's been working really well. And what we're doing there, what's really important with our Instagram ads is using that square format. So we've been taking our Facebook ads, turning them into a square format, running them over on Instagram, working really, really well. But so that's a kind of image formula, I guess you can say. It's quite simple, but you know, it works really well. But the other big thing that we've done, and this is by far had the biggest impact on our campaigns, is 60-second videos on both Facebook and Instagram. So really simple format that anyone can use. And this, it just works for cold traffic converting to webinars. Square format video under 60 seconds. And the reason for that limit is because we want to be able to run on Instagram, and Instagram ads have to be less than 60 seconds.
Yep.
And the one that's working the best is just a face to camera, just like we're sitting here now talking. With, you know, a quick, basically the formula is, you know, that question or statement about the pain point or the problem, build a little bit of authority, like, you know, tell them how you solve that problem yourself. Then we're going into, hey, this is how we can solve it. Grab, you know, I'm going to take you through a 60-minute webinar workshop, blah, 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 and then click below to sign up. That's like dead simple.
And that is her, as you just mentioned, that's her in front of the camera, just like we're doing right now. If you're listening to the podcast, you can't see this obviously, but we're just on webcam here, right? Yep. This is nothing, like she's not hiring a big production crew or anything like that. This is just in front of the webcam, and that's what's working the best. Square video that you mentioned because it works well in the Instagram feed. Okay, cool. I love it.
Well, it converts better. I've compared this. I've compared landscape video and square video, the exact same videos on Facebook for a lot of Melissa's videos. Square always converts better on Facebook as well for us. So interesting to note.
I love that. I was just at a mastermind last week at the time of recording this, and I gave a little presentation on sort of what's working right now. And we talked about that. You know, a lot of people are so, you know, they're like, I want to do, you know, landscape on my phone as I hold my phone up right now. And I said, go ahead and test that, but make sure you're also testing the, you know, the vertical nature of the video as well. You know, because when we're on the mobile device, the video takes up the entire screen. You know,
yes, exactly.
Whereas not with the landscape of it. So I love the fact that you're testing all those different things. You mentioned that you had to you have a bunch of stats. And you know, from the campaign, let's kind of dive into those. What kind of stats are you? I know that you are really, you know, obviously a big fan of the spreadsheet, like you're talking about before. You're tracking all this stuff. What types of stuff are you tracking, and what types of data are you seeing from the campaigns?
Yeah, for sure. So, well, look, that's a great follow on from that video conversation. So, one thing we're tracking is, like I said, we're always tracking that cost per purchase. That what's our ROI. I don't care so much about lead costs, to be honest, because, you know, if we're paying $10 a lead and getting $100 a lead back, that's fantastic. Now, we're not paying that much, but just as an example. So I was, I've been really digging into these video ads lately, just because we've seen such great performance for Melissa and for other clients. Like, I've taken that formula and applied it to others, and it's just worked really well. So anyway, breaking down the video, that sort of video, one thing we look at is, okay, let's look at all of our video ads compared to all of our image ads and see what all of the numbers look like right across the board. So for example, our, just for cold traffic, our lead cost for video is quite a bit lower than for images. So we're looking at around $3.50 for an image conversion, mm-hmm. about $3 for a video conversion.
Okay.
So, you know, it's, you know, quite a bit better. But then if we look at that flow through and we say, well, what's the conversion rate? What's our sales conversion rate like on video yeah. compared to image ad? Conversion rate on the video, about 3.3%. You know, 3.3% of leads were going to purchase. Conversion rate on images, about 2.8%. So not only are we seeing a lower cost per lead, yeah. but we're also seeing them convert higher on the back end, which is just that combination means the yeah. ROI is so much.
How
higher.
Are you? So two questions on that. I love that you're tracking it that granularly. How are you tracking it? Are you using something like Wicked Reports? Do you have your own kind of, you know, reporting system? Are you using simply just within Ads Manager in the, you know, the pixel and putting values and stuff in there? Mm-hmm. Or I should say, and how is that information affecting your decision making on how you're running the campaigns, like from a budget allocation?
Mm-hmm. So we are just using the Ad Manager primarily as our data source now. We use standard events. We use, you know, with purchase value tracking and all that kind of stuff. So we can see straight up in the Ad Manager. We get a snapshot.
Cool.
We do compare that to all of our other data sources, like our Google Analytics, you know, our actual cart conversions to make sure that it actually matches up and all that kind of
right.
stuff. Because as you right. know, it's never 100%.
Sure, sure.
When we're just starting to move towards Wicked Reports now, so we haven't got that set up, but that's cool. where we're headed.
Awesome. And then how is that knowledge looking at those stats?
Yep.
Let's just say so that you know that video is costing you less per conversion and it's converting better on the sales, you know, from the percentage of those people who are converting into actual sales. How is that driving your decision-making process for your budget allocation?
Yeah, I mean, we're pushing so much more budget towards video now. To put it quite simply, it's just making a shift, a lot of budget. We haven't cut off image ads completely because, mm-hmm. you know, if something's delivering a positive ROI, we're not going to kill it. But anything new, we're definitely moving towards that video format.
Awesome.
And you know, when we're coming up with new tests, that's our focus. It's what can we test that uses video? What can we test that, you know, that somehow incorporates video into the funnel, because that's where we're seeing better conversions.
Yeah. I love it, man. I love it. What am I missing? What haven't we talked about?
What haven't we talked about? Desktop mobile. So this is a good example of why people need to stop focusing on cost per lead. So we break down, you know, what's our ROI from desktop? What's our ROI from mobile, Instagram,
yeah.
everything. So if we look at just cost per lead, looking at $3.30 on mobile, for cold traffic, about $4.15 mm-hmm. for desktop. Mm-hmm. So desktop's a lot more expensive, about 30% more expensive. And we're looking yep. about $3 per lead on Insta. Now, if I was to look at that, I'd kill all my desktop ad sets. If I was right. just looking at lead cost, you know, I'd kill all those. But then yep. if we look at the ROI, desktop is converting at 3.3%. We've got a 3x ROI on desktop. Mobile is converting at 2.2%, and we've got just over a 2x ROI on mobile.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once you just look that one level down, we realize yep. that, hey, we need to focus on desktop.
And this is something that I've talked about, you know, in probably smaller, whether it's a live event or to within my course programs and just with other people as well. I mean, it's thinking about the behavior of how we act as far as putting our credit card information into our mobile phone. Like, mm-hmm. it's something that not a lot of people are super comfortable with yet. I mean, it's getting better, but the majority of the people are much more comfortable doing that on the desktop. And so yeah. that, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that you're seeing that, but I love the fact that you just set it up that such that, look, these are my costs per lead for mobile, desktop, and Instagram and so forth, but yet these are where the sales are coming from. So if you look at that top level number from a cost per lead perspective, you would have killed desktop, but that's where the highest percentage of sales are coming from.
Exactly. Exactly. And then Instagram just destroys both of them at the moment.
So what is that? Did you say that? I might have missed it. What was that number? What was that sales the conversion on that one?
Insta was at 3.6% and a 4x ROI. So yeah, that's just amazing. Yeah, it's just incredible for us at the moment.
That's awesome. I cannot thank you enough for taking us through this campaign. Was there anything that we haven't talked about with the overall campaign that's, you know, that you think is definitely something that we should be chatting about?
Look, I think we probably should just touch on the copy that Melissa uses and the way she does that. I think that's,
I was going to ask you that. Well, yes. Do you write that copy or does she write it?
So I write the copy. Okay. And then Melissa has a quick look over it, you know, checks it out and makes any changes. But that's kind of the process that we use.
Okay. It's very, I mean, I've seen her ads and I've talked to Melissa just a little bit about it. They're great because they're very conversational.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she would talk if you're sitting down with her, you know, over coffee, you know, this is how she would speak. And this is something that I harp on all the time. Everyone really gets hung up on the copy, and how to write good copy. It's like, well, how would you talk to your target customer if you were sitting down for them? And, you guys do a really, really good job of that with Melissa's ads. Do you tend to do both short copy and longer copy? How do you sort of test that sort of thing?
Yep. So I think you've nailed it. That's exactly what we're going for. We want to write how Melissa speaks, basically.
Yeah.
And what we do is we test both short and long copy. Mm-hmm. Honestly, we're finding success with both. You know, in different cases, not every piece of copy works, but we have some short copy that works, some long copy that works. We were going for that really long copy for a while, you know, like we're talking 2000 word kind of stuff.
Right.
It was working, but we're kind of moving away from that and we're going back to the slightly shorter. Even our long format isn't quite that long anymore.
Really? Because you're testing it though, not just because I want to do it. Like you're testing it to see what's working. Got it.
Exactly. Yeah. We're constantly changing these things and, you know, we're trying like really short, like a few sentences. We're trying, you know, everything all the way through. And I think that's something that you need to avoid as well is, one is that corporate language, but two is getting into this pattern of, well, I tried that once before and it didn't work, so I'm never going to try again. Or so-and-so said that didn't work, so I'm not going to try that because that doesn't work. Like these blanket rules and statements, they'll cost you a lot of money in the long run.
Drives me crazy, man. Drives me crazy. I have lots of students who say, well, I was actually just talking to somebody. I had a coaching call with one of my students earlier today, and they were saying that they'd heard from somebody else that, like, don't do this or you should definitely do this because this works. And it's like, well, it might, but you know, you just got to test it. You know, there's no blanket, you know, yes, this works, or, you know, we can talk about best practices and stuff like that, but every business is different, you know, and, you just got to test these different things out. So, which you're doing an amazing job of, by the way. I want to make sure that people can connect with you and find you online. I cannot thank you enough for coming on here and talking about this stuff and taking us through sort of not only your evolution as a Facebook ads business, but also, you know, taking us behind the scenes of Melissa's campaign and all the success that you're having with it. And it's quite obvious after talking through this why you're having such success. Like I'm very, very impressed with what you're doing with it, all the different factors and testing and different things. So kudos, man. Super, super happy for you. Where can people connect with you online?
Yeah, thanks, Rick. I just love talking about this stuff, so I really appreciate it.
I know, we could talk for hours on this.
I know. If people want to find me, my website is andrewhubbard.co, so .co. Okay. I'll set up something there where we'll show you I'll set up something with the video formula that we're using, that outline that I mentioned, and a few of the examples of the ads we're running too. You can grab that at andrewhubbard.co/Rick, and
awesome.
You can grab a copy of those too.
Awesome, man. Awesome. I'll be sure to link that up in the show notes for today's episode as well. Andrew, thanks so much again for coming on here. Really appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Rick.
All right. Hope you enjoyed this one with Andrew today. It would mean a lot to me if you shared this episode out with anybody else that you think might also find some value in it. And also, if you've not yet left an honest rating and review for the show over on iTunes, Only takes a second. I'd really appreciate you doing that. Big help for the show here. Thank you so much in advance for doing that. Now, coming up next week, I'm going to be joined by Deacon Hayes, where we are going to be talking about how he's using Facebook ads to amplify his content, which then generates affiliate income. Specifically, we're going to dive into a recent campaign where he spent about $8,500 on Facebook ads, and he did $21,000 in revenue. Pretty cool stuff. We're going to dive into that all next week. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in next week's episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.